This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Miami Dolphins football is on the air on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by Tobin and Solana. Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number two of the Dolphins' fifth quarter postgame show coming your way next. But first, let's go ahead and pause 10 seconds so our stations can identify themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS, WKIS HD1, and WKIS HD2 Boca Raton. Home of the Miami Dolphins. Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
We have a lot of football still to get to. We'll do that here next on the Miami Dolphins fifth quarter postgame show. Hour two coming up now.
Miami Dolphins football live on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Sponsored by AmeriSave, the official mortgage lender of the Miami Dolphins. Publix. To become a Publix member, visit clubpublix.com. Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood, South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination. Ticketmaster, official marketplace of the NFL. Dolphins football, presented by the Palm Beaches.
Just like that, the preseason is concluded. We're here on the Miami Dolphins fifth quarter postgame show. Travis Wingfield, the host of the Draft Time podcast on the Miami Dolphins podcast network. I have Seth Levitt and OJ McDuffie from the Fish Tank podcast. And we just heard at the end of hour number one, Big Seth, a press conference from Tua Tagovailoa. And since you are the resident press conference consigliere, we go to you on your takeaways from Tua at the podium.
Yeah, well, my biggest takeaway here for this one, Travis, is that Tua agreed with OJ and I
know.
In assessing his own play. He felt that throw, it was not to his liking, and that he felt that they should have scored. So I don't Juice, I don't even feel guilty for feeling that way because we just agree with Tua. I don't know where that leaves you on this one, Travis. But
taking the L, man, taking the L.
But again, you know, the easy thing to do is say, hey, that was a great shot. Maybe I could have thrown a better ball. But he was hard on himself. I want that, right? Don't you want that juice out of your starting quarterback to say, hey, look, we got something positive out of it, but it should have been better. I don't ever want him to be satisfied. I don't ever want him to start, you know, everyone talks about smelling themselves or reading the press clippings. You don't ever want him to be satisfied, especially not now, because this is a glorified practice in a lot of ways, and every rep counts. And especially when you have a weapon at your disposal like Tyreek Hill, something that unique. He knows, and he knows what that looks like, right? Because in Alabama, we talked about Alabama open. Tyreek Hill can get Alabama open in the NFL. He knows what that looks like, and he knows that needs to be better. But the exciting thing, I think, for all of us is that he's going to get those opportunities to throw that ball better the next time. So I took that I took away from it, and then I think is kind of an overarching, I hate to use the word theme, but the mood here, you know, he certainly talked about Jason and his unique relationship with Jason Jenkins. But he said that, and we saw how emotional Coach McDaniel was. We saw how difficult it must have been for him to hear that news. But he said on the sidelines, the players had no clue.
Yeah.
And again, I want that for my head coach as well. When the whole world is falling apart around you, the head man needs to be in charge. He needs to be able to carry out the mission there on the sidelines. And he did that. And those guys brought their best today. And then, you know, when they had that private moment, he was able to share with them the news. So those were the two things that jumped out to me.
Yeah, well said. What do you think, Juice? I mean, you talked a little bit about the game there at the end, but I guess mostly, you know, about what's on all of our minds here tonight. And, you know, taking up a lot of the time here as you know, our decision to do that, because it's a very important matter to us, and you guys can certainly tell the tone is different than it usually is, especially after a 48-10 win. But Juice, what do you think there? Any thoughts on what QB1 said or his play? I'll just go ahead and kind of give you the floor on QB1 tonight, man.
Yeah, well, you know, his play was stellar again. I mean, you said it, his numbers reflected that. You know, granted, you know, everybody's gonna be saying, you know, the Eagles didn't play in their starters, but they played their starters all week, and we saw the same thing, and we saw him go out and execute the offense and make some big throws, big plays. His reads were there. You know, only took the one sack. I was shocked, like we all talked about, that he came out for three series, and the team actually executed all three series. I think we got points on all of them. 17 points in the first quarter was
not bad.
I was like, what's going on with this team? You know what I mean?
Not used to that.
And, so, yeah, all three of those with QB1. And you just the grasp of the offense is coming, you know, and now we get into game planning, you know, and thinking about, you know, what's going to happen with New England. And I think these guys are, you know, it's going to be fun for them to look at this tape, take some things from it, but then to start dialing in the way they can beat this other team. I think we got a head man that's really good at recognizing weaknesses on other teams and going after them, man. And it was, you know, it's what we've been waiting for. I mean, we talked about QB1, then we also got a chance to see Raheem today. You know, we got a chance to see a lot of guys. I mean, can there be a faster offensive team, you know, when you look at that? And, yeah, and I'm going to – you know, we can't just blame Tua for the ball being a little short. We got to blame Tyreek for being too damn fast as well.
That's how it goes, right?
You know what I mean?
Maybe that's
part
the
of
problem.
It. Yeah. You know, I remember –
I knew the receiver was going to come out here and
say – Yeah, and –
Did you?
You know, I think in the game, I think maybe in the future, when you see that double team on Tyreek going down the middle of the field, a lot of other guys want some one-on-ones, and Tua might drop his eyes and hit – you know, Waddle on a crosser or something like that, but you got to take that shot. You have to take that shot.
Why not? Where else?
Tyreek called that, so I think you might have been just stepped away or away from the mic, your headphones.
Yep.
But Tyreek's the one that made that call on that play, and they went out and executed him first play.
It's funny, Juice. Seth and I were talking in the press box about, I was like, you know, Tyreek had so many questions this offseason about where does your confidence come from? Because it was something that we just hadn't seen really since you and your receiving crew was out here and just the swagger you guys played with. And I told Seth, well, I guess when you come out here and you can just do whatever you want the first two plays, 51 yards, 13 yards, you're getting wide open. I guess it comes from just being the best player everywhere you go
right.
at all times. So that was cool to see. Some more numbers for you here on the Tua-led offense this summer, this August. They scored on 4 of the 5 possessions that he was under center. That's great news, obviously. I think Big Seth just gave me an update on the passer ratings. Tua's passer rating was 0.3 points higher than Skylar Thompson's at 138.6 to 138.3. Is that, or am I...
Round it up. You know, maybe 0.2 points.
Close enough. But it's. I think that's hilarious because all the talking points we saw this summer around the quarterback position. But also, one more thing here, Juice, was just that I thought was really great was, man, the chunk plays. And even on the longer drive, was it a nine-play drive there to go 88 yards or something like that, he was just hitting these 15, 17, 18, just boom, boom, boom. There was a throw to the far hash, a 15-yard comeback to Trent Sherfield, right on the money, away from the leverage, good placement. Comes back on a crossing route to Cedric Wilson, and this is, I mean, I'll try it again, but hopefully I'm right this time, where I thought that the defender had his back turned to Tua, and when you're in that spot, you can only defend the width of your shoulders, right? You can't see what's going on around you. And this time, Tua throws it right over the top of his helmet, and he just plucks that thing for like 17 more yards. And then, of course, the touchdown throw to River Craycraft. Seth and I talked about the angle we had on that. Just he threw it to a spot. He trusted the clear out route to do his job to take that defender down to the flat and open up that corner route there, that flag route that I know you love so much, Juice. But my favorite part about that, and this is something I want to hear you guys kind of discuss, is the confidence and swagger. Because I don't know if you saw it. After the ball left his hand, it was kind of Steph Curry. Like he threw it and he kind of put the hand up like, that's a touchdown. I'm walking back to the huddle now, or I guess walking back on defense. Did you see that? And what are your thoughts about a little bit of swagger coming from QB1 there?
Dude, we have to have a little bit, man. You know, you talk about a guy that's been getting beat up down here, literally, figuratively, you know what I mean? And, you know, yeah, it's preseason, but I think that his swagger should be there. You know, year three, we talked about it. Year three, I think he's going to come to his own, He's not worried about anybody trying to come in behind him. This is his job, you know, and he's taking it, man. He's taking the ball and he's running with it, man. I think it's been, you know, fun to go out there, and I think the atmosphere that we saw, that swagger, is carryover from practice. Mm-hmm. It's from camp. You know, we've been out there, and coach has got it. You know, they allow the players to go out there. They're playing music. They're having a good time. They're getting work done, obviously, and that shows too. Sometimes when people are having too much fun and work isn't getting done, you got to shut it down. But they're having a lot of fun. They're getting the work done, and it showed tonight. And, yeah, QB1 swagger. I mean, I saw a lot of flip-floppers this past week that are on his bandwagon right now. So I can only imagine how it's going to be this week with everybody else that, you know, been the naysayers, considering we've always, you know, we've, from what we've seen this year, we saw a guy that was on the right trajectory.
That's a great point. I like to watch Colin Cowherd just for the entertainment purposes of it. Like, you know, I understand that I take the show for what it is. I can't wait for him to come on this weekend. I know he's going to have something cooked up for us. I look forward to that stuff so much because, like you said, he is a conduit for content, and people have their takes, Big Seth.
Well, yeah, Juice talked about flip-floppers. Our man Bill from Boynton had a little tune for the flip-flopping by Cowherd. I know, like, he took a shot at my girl Joy, you know, I love you, Bill, but Joy's family. But damn, otherwise, damn, it was another Bill's Bangers, is that what he calls them? Was another one for sure. But I think you're going to see that as the season progresses. I hope you're going to see that as the season progresses, because it means, again, going back to what's most important, is that we start to see the development and from Tua and him, as Coach McDaniel said, becoming a professional right before our very eyes.
We still got game balls to get to. I want to talk about who made a case among the guys on the bubble. We'll preview the Patriots game. Next game is a regular one that counts, Big Seth. I know you're fired up about that. Lots more to get to here on the Dolphins postgame show. The Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Motors. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Kia. Again, the final score here from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 48, Eagles 10. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins fifth quarter overtime show brought to you by the Palm Beaches. Guess what, Dolphins Nation? When you sign up for Club Publix, you get perks, a birthday treat, and BOGO notifications. That's buy one, get one free. Just visit clubpublix.com. Terms and conditions apply. We don't have the sound clip for you guys right now, but it is that time, Seth. It's game balls time. I think let's go ahead and go to Juice here first, because among all the players that had big nights, so many receivers did. That's got to be where you're going, right, Juice?
Absolutely not.
Oh, whoa, pivot.
Absolutely not, man. My man, 15,
Jalen
Phillips, man. I mean, so much speed and power today, man, and retrace and, you know, all over the place. Almost getting to the quarterback or trying to put the tackle in his lap. I mean, it's like unbelievable how the last part of last season has come into this season as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, him and Agba opposite each other, man. So much pressure in the front four that we're going to be able to play some really good coverage. in the backside, not have to, allocate another guy from the secondary to get to a quarterback, man. So, 15 is coming into his own. He's serious about his craft. He's one of the most serious young guys, second-year guys in the league that I've ever seen. But, man, his motor is unbelievable, and his strength is unbelievable, so I was watching that from the beginning. I just kept watching him, going after, catching a running back from the backside or being in the quarterback's lap or pushing this guy in there, man. So I'm all in on Jalen Phillips right now, man. And he's having fun out there like everybody else. And, I think he drew a holding call as well today. That's always a sign of a guy that's kicking somebody's butt. And, are doing big things out there when, they're paying a big attention to him. So I got 15 today.
I think the Eagles are excited to get out of town for many reasons because of the performances in practice and here today. But I think for Jalen Phillips, because he was wearing the orange jersey in the lone practice, of course, Thursday's got canceled because of the stomach bug issue, which that's a whole other thing, I suppose. But then he went out there and had a couple more sacks in the two-minute period against the Eagles in that practice and might have gotten the orange jersey again. If they do, I doubt they do it outside of training camp, but if they did it, it would be him. So Juice takes a defensive end, a pass rusher. I imagine that's where you're going to go, Seth, because that's where you usually live, in the defensive end position.
It is, but, if Juice is going defense, I'm going to come over to the offensive side of the ball, and what the heck, I'll pick a receiver. I'm going with your guy, River Craycraft, and all day we were hearing that, Juice. I thought it was static. It was actually some crazy chant, apparently, they do out there. Forecast. Catches 54 yards. Of course, the touchdown. If you didn't know, Travis had a great view of that touchdown. But it was a fabulous route. He did have a drop, but I don't even care about that because Teddy went right back to him, made a great grab on the sidelines. And I just think the guy who puts points on the board early gets you rolling. So I think that, look, Tyreek Hill certainly just infused all kinds of excitement into the stadium, this offense, everything. But River Craycraft, I do not think you can overlook his performance for a guy who's fighting for a job today, and he showed up ready for the fight, got to make some plays early, made them often. And Travis said if you go with Craycraft, you better not forget the fact that he also had a great block on the 26-yard run by Mostert. Was that the play?
Ahmed.
Ahmed. Yeah. On the the little pass play there.
Yep.
Yeah. So, just doing everything he can.
That's what we do.
I didn't see it, but he made sure. So even on my own game ball, Wingfield had to make sure. If he didn't go to your alma mater, would you have made those demands?
No.
Okay. All right. So River Craycraft gets my game ball.
I was also talking about Gardner Minshew being out here. I couldn't help myself but say that was a pretty good throw by Minshew during some of the good throws he had in practice. The only times I wouldn't tweet about our guys was when Gardner Minshew was doing his thing. That's the all-time legend at WSU disgrace. There. So my game ball, I thought about this, and I actually changed from when we last talked about it, so you guys are getting
a curveball. Are you going off script like we did?
Of course. Because I was going to go Tua. But we talked about Tua so much that he really does get my game ball here. 6-for-7, 121, touchdown, 158.3 rating. But I'm going to give out two. That's what I do. I'm going to go ahead and pivot my answer and give one to Hunter Long because
I can get down with that.
I think he had two touchdowns tonight. Say what you will about the no call with both guys hand fighting. Seth, you were pretty big on the fact that he got pulled more than he pulled the other guy.
I was grabbing him by the collar.
I don't understand that call. The ref was shielded a little bit by the action, so we have that to go off of, and you can't review that. But they did review the catch and said he didn't make the catch, which I also didn't get that, but whatever. He came back later, has another touchdown catch, his first of the exhibition season, his first as a Miami Dolphin, in fact. And it was funny because they made him wait for that one, too, with a review of that play.
It's a heck
but
of a play.
If you watch that play, exactly, it looks like they're trying to run a rub on the defender, and he's the one that gets rubbed, and then he has to kind of go off script and breaks the route, and then he lunges in front of an Eagles defender and makes the catch at the front pylon, and then he has to wait for the review. And I don't know if you guys saw him out there, but he put his hands up like, oh, thank God, it finally
touched down. Finally something counts!
And then so there was that, and then also I thought he was digging guys out in the blocking game. There was another run where Ahmed got the edge, where he was a big part of that seal on that edge. And then there's a play, Juice, and I'm curious to get your take on this, because one thing I noticed last week against the Raiders was how they kept blitzing that weak edge against our bootlegs, which we know is such a pivotal aspect of this offense. And one thing I've seen them counter that with is Hunter Long split flow motion comes across the formation, and he kind of just anchors against that unblocked edge. And it's working. Working really good. They're getting some time for Skyler, for Tua, for Teddy to get time off the edge. So Hunter Long, run game, pass game, couple of good weeks for him now. He's really built momentum for week number one.
Yeah, solid game. That's a good call. That's a good call right there. And we talked about that. And, when you start looking back at his game as a whole, he has to be in the mix. And definitely a heck of a game. two terrible calls on one play. I thought the touchdown that actually he got, I thought that we're looking at as a comma on that play, coming down the sideline, you know, coming back from the back of the end zone and to sit in that situation. But, yeah, Hunter flashed, made the play. You know, you got to be aggressive. If as a comma wanted it, he had to come get it. And Hunter won and went and got it.
Well, Skyler also had a little, he had a little action there in his face, falling back foot, probably a throw, ill-advised maybe is the word.
Probably.
I think I don't know where they're at right now. I hope he's taking Hunter out for, let me buy you a beer or something, because it would have ruined his incredible passer rating here with one interception. But great play by him, and I thought, he mixed it up in the run game, as you said. So I like the choice, Travis, but of course you wouldn't be Travis Wingfield if you didn't give out more than one game ball. But I think we should give out a collective game ball, don't you think?
Yeah.
I know even Steph the specialist was in on this one, we've talked about him all day, but to the boss man, a game ball, not just for today but for all that he's accomplished and the legacy that he's left.
Yeah, for sure, no doubt about it, man.
I just got an alert from my Yahoo Sports app about him.
Yeah.
There's a story already up, and just you can see the impact across the entire National Football League landscape.
Absolutely.
Man, like it's funny. It was funny to hear Tua talk about that, because there was that period between PR managers, and Ann wasn't here yet, and he was talking about kind of getting to know Jason in that time, and like you just don't realize how many people he touched in the organization, from players to stupid podcasters making outrageous claims on their show every day, like I do. So it's like he just. Man, he impacted the entire organization. You heard the impact that he had on Mike McDaniel. Like, that was what really got me, Juice, because there was nothing inauthentic about what Coach said, and he knew the guy for a few months. That's just who Jason was. He made you feel that special after only knowing him for that long. So,
yeah, man, boss man, game ball for sure. So many more, man. He'll get an honorary one. Every dub we get,
that's right.
Jason gets one
on this show. There's no doubt about that. Every game we get a dub, it's going to the boss man, to Jason Jenkins. So again, we're thinking about his family tonight, and certainly thinking about all the people that are impacted by his loss. So we'll come back and get to some more football here on the other side. Trying to fight through this one. It's a tough show for us. We'll get it done. Dolphins post game is driven by Gunther Motors. You've got to get to Gunther Kia in Fort Lauderdale on 441, just north of I-595, or visit GuntherKia.com for car buying done your way. You've got to get to Gunther Kia. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium: Dolphins 48, Eagles 10. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Overtime Show, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Joe Rosen, Zach Krantz in the mornings, Hawk and Crowder in the afternoon. Nobody covers Dolphins like AM 560 Sports WQAM.
Give your actions more traction in the all-new Kia Sportage X-Pro with multi-terrain all-wheel drive. With the right tools, anything is possible. And guys, I want to get to my... I don't want to call them bubble players, but guys that just, you know, it's not the guys that are getting the vets' days off, the guys that are playing four quarters, the guys that made a statement tonight on this roster to make a final push for the roster or even to get a more increased role from what it might have been previously. We'll talk about that here in just 1 second. But I want to get to this point here real quick because, Seth, we talked about this in the press box and you had a good point to follow up off my point, so it became a segment that we're going to talk about here. But just how much more ready this team looks for week one than where they were 2 weeks ago or even last week. I mean, I'm not saying it was, you know, a poor performance, but just the operation, the marriage of the offense with the talent they have as far as the players and the defense coming out and playing the way they did. And just like Juice mentioned, like a complete comprehensive win. Everybody, you know, kind of got their opportunity today and made the most of it. But I just think they look so ready for week one more than I really ever have coming off an exhibition campaign before this year. It's a testament to the coaching staff, but you had a point about the coaching staff and how everyone did get their chance on this roster tonight.
Yeah, I felt that everybody did. I mean, when you talk about that, there were players. You grab my highlighter here at the beginning, and you, I think like 30 players that on the card there, and you said I want to watch all these guys, and you got to see them. You know, Juice, we've seen how many times have we seen that fourth preseason game, and you can start to make cuts based on guys who don't even get to get out there.
Right.
You know, there's certain guys they're trying to make decisions on, and then you start to see, oh well, I guess they've made decisions on some of these guys. It seemed to me like Coach McDaniel gave everybody an opportunity, and I didn't check everybody off the way Travis did, but you just saw so many different guys. Before halftime, you had seen almost every running back on the roster.
Right.
And so that, you know, I think that that's all those guys could ask for is an opportunity to get out there and make plays, and a lot of guys are going to continue to make it difficult on Coach McDaniel and Chris Greer in making these decisions on the roster because, again, there's only so many spots available. Based on where did Coach say this? I don't know if it was during one of his pressers or an interview he did somewhere else. He said, we have more NFL players on this roster than we have spots. Mm-hmm. And that was profound. It's like, you know what? We finally do. I think there's been times in the last handful of years where we probably didn't have enough NFL players to fill out a 53.
Right.
And now you've got more, and a lot of those guys are really talented. And that's all you can ask for when you're building a team. And then when you get those guys together, now they got to go out there and execute. But I thought it was great to see how many different guys and how early some of those guys got to play.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead, Juice.
Yeah, no doubt, man. You got six running backs that got carries today. You know what I mean? And that's giving guys an opportunity. Yeah, they were really, really good. And you saw different guys, speed guys, power guys. I thought Sony Michel got the short yardage opportunities. And he was just a bulldozer, man. He was like a wrecking ball.
That's that Broward County right there.
Oh, man, he's tough, man. You know, and
nobody reps Broward.
And then you saw Dokes get some runs at the end, you know, give him an opportunity to go out there. And he looked pretty good. There's a lot of guys. Then you got, 11 or 12 guys that had targets today as wide receiver or tight end or running backs. I mean, they did give everybody an opportunity to go out there and show what they have, man. Because we always know this too now. You know, if you're not going to make the Dolphins team, you're still trying out for 31 other squads. And so fact that, you know, the staff gave these guys these opportunities to go out there and either make this team or audition for other teams, man, that's all you can ask for.
And by the way, that's with a lot of the starters getting run.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about so many of the starting offense playing deep into the – well, playing three series. You don't usually see that in the last game, and yet these guys still got their opportunity. So, yeah, I think great job by the coaching staff, especially under the circumstances, to get as many of these guys out there and get that film on them so they can go back and sharpen up their pencils and make some real difficult decisions.
I'm really curious, and I'll make sure to ask him tomorrow because, you know, I'll get a chance to talk to Coach tomorrow, Seth, and I'd like to talk about the people I talk
now,
to in the organization.
Is this going to be like at breakfast or when you're getting coffee, or are you talking about during
this is
the
just the press
actual
conference.
Okay.
I am curious to ask him how
much.
Do you
call him Mike or do you call him Coach?
We had this discussion in the press box. Juice, every time I see a coach, they are Coach to me. I don't care what level of football. If you're a coach, you're a coach. That's how I call you, address you around the building.
Right.
So everyone in there, what's up, Coach? Hey, Coach, how we doing? Sometimes it's confusing, but
right.
That's what you do. But no, so, you know, we talked a little bit about, or what I want to ask him about is how much the plan might have changed based upon losing that day of practice against the Eagles, because mm-hmm. this is a guy that has been so steadfast in his idea that we're not going to shortchange the process. We're going to let everything play out. I'm going to make sure I have all of the pieces of evidence and information at my disposal before I make a decision, and then we'll go ahead and go forward. Well, it played out here in this week with the practice missing, or the Dolphins missing the practice on Thursday against the Eagles. But, you know, Juice, you mentioned the rushing. These numbers are crazy, man. I didn't even realize Doakes did what he did because we were getting down to the booth and, you know, we had a lot of things going on tonight. But Doakes, 11 for 67. That's 6.1 yards per rush. Gaskin, 6 for 39, 6.5. Savon Ahmed, 4 for 30, 7.5. Mostert, 2 for 29, 14.5. So Quandre White, 4 for 26, that's 6.5. And then Sony Michel's the only back that wasn't over 6 yards per carry, and he had the rushing touchdown. So it's like everybody contributed in this running game, and that takes me to a point that I talked to, going back to more conversations with players and coaches. Teron Armstead this week mentioned how the running game was the foundation for everything this offense wants to do. Mm-hmm. 100, or what's the total on tonight? I had it at 140 on 21 carries. I know that's probably shortchanging what they finished with. Seth probably got me there.
203 right here.
35 for 2. That's like Lamar Smith's stat line from the playoff win 20 years ago. It's like exactly right. But, you know, so off of the run action, again, that idea about those little play-action boots, we saw that, and Seth said at one point, how many times are they going to run that play tonight? Well, until they defended, I guess, because they were going play-action, bootleg, the guy across the flat, wide open, over and over again.
Scored on it twice,
and when you can't defend the run, Juice, I can't imagine that play is easier to defend at all.
And you should have seen the view that Travis had.
Such a good view. Just perfect.
Yeah,
pristine.
I bet. Yeah, man, they're complimentary of each other, you know, they really are, man. And whenever we are able to run the football, then we can play off that boot, that play action or that boot action off of that. It's gonna be fun, man. But it's all predicated, like Teron said, off the run game. So if the run game is working, watch out for everything else. And that's what we talked about before, anyways. How do you defend this team? What's going to happen? How are you going to defend this team? If we can run the football, how do you defend this team when you got a guy like Jaylen Waddle, when you got a guy like Tyreek, you know, Hill, when you got a guy like Cedric Wilson, you got some of these other guys are going to make this team that can, you know, take the top off of a defense. How do you defend them if you cannot stop the run? Or if you put all the emphasis on stopping the run, how do you defend the one-on-ones you're going to get with a single high safety? I mean, it starts up front with Teron and those guys. And somebody we might get to and talk a little bit about later is Greg Little.
Yes.
You know, what Back Greg tonight. Little did, you know, playing the on the left side, I mean, the offensive line was impressive today. They really were, man. Time to throw the ball, lanes to run it. You don't get 200 yards by accident.
No.
You know, as a team. And so I think Greg Little, man, he did a great job of showing that he's trying to be that other tackle or the swing tackle or whatever it might be. He went out there and he had his best audition today as well.
I just want to go ahead and make a point that on the podcast last weekend, I said we're not going to be doing a tape review edition of the Drive Time after the preseason game number 3, thinking they wouldn't play the stars very long. Well, our lie detectors determined that was, in fact, a lie because I cannot wait to watch this tape and get a better look at the offensive line. It's always kind of something that I have to go back and watch. You know,
take a good look at that pass to Tyreek, too, if you get a chance.
And just go ahead and lay out all my transgressions about the quality of that pass as well. But I can't wait to get a look at that because Greg Little, like Juice mentioned, I thought played well, but I want to go ahead and confirm that on the tape. But right. Then also that big run that Raheem Mostert had Austin Jackson sealed that thing up pretty good, and he had himself some work in the running game. So, yeah, it's rare that you get to do a show like this where all three phases really just dominate, and that was the case tonight. Let's go ahead and talk about Jason Sanders and Thomas Morstead, too. Juice, you were fired up about Morstead's little – it's not into the coffin corner, but it was pinned up against the sideline for like 54 yards. Jason Sanders had another 55-yard kick tonight. That's outrageous. He is good on both of his attempts. And makes 6 extra points in the making as well. So he is perfect on, or he has one miss this preseason, but he has a whole bunch of 50-plus yards.
Big miss.
It was a big miss. Right. It was a game winner. But special teams, good, Juice, though. Also been pretty good so far.
Yeah, man. I Mike Westhoff, when we talked about Morstead, man, he said the best guy to
That's
ever
right.
do it.
That's right.
He said the best guy to ever do it, man. And I said that. I repeat that today in the alumni suite. And I watched that first punt, man. It was just a beautiful hang time, you know, pinned towards the sideline, guys. You know, return guys hate that.
I wanted, as a return guy, yeah. How pissed off are you when that happens?
Kills the average, I want a short punt right down the middle. You know what I mean? I want to see, like, when I return to one against the Steelers, when Bill Cowher's like spitting and yelling at his punter. I want to see the special teams coordinator spitting and yelling at his punter for not putting it where it's supposed to be, man. But when you see that ball turn over like that, you know, and you got the great coverage, man. And you got a guy that's wanting to return, because look. Think about it, and I even say this about the Preston Williams situation today. He's trying to make a play because he's trying to make a team. When you don't get an opportunity, like, you know, when you punt it like that, you know, you can't make those plays. Jason Sanders booming everything out of the end zone. You got guys that are trying to make the team as a return guy. They don't get these opportunities. That's why when we were at practice on Wednesday, I said they're toning it down so these guys can get some work on return game. Because, you know, you get to the games, there's no way. He's going to blast them out of the end zone. So they weren't kicking them as deep in practice so these guys can try to get some work in. And so it's nice to have a punter, man, that, for one, that Sarnie would say holds it well. You know what I mean?
But also
he can get it up in the air, man, and average 54 yards a punt today, and with hang time. It's outstanding.
You'll take that all day. He was at practice the other day. He was putting balls into the coffin corner over and over and over again. I was like, man, this dude's automatic. So,
and it doesn't matter who you're punting against, right? It doesn't matter if it's preseason. Right. That's one of those close right. skills.
It's black and white.
The right. boundary here right. is what it is, and yeah. he's
And the Sanders 55-yarder was just an absolute bomb.
I joked about exit velocity on that because that ball never got more than like 15 feet off the ground, just right through there. So that was fun.
Good.
Enough baseball references, right, Big Seth?
Let's go
ahead and we got two more to go here. We're going to preview the Patriots game here next as well. And also on that Morstead punt, Cater Cahoo had a great play on that. He's on my list of guys that showed out tonight. We'll get to that and more next here on the Dolphins post game, driven by Gunther Motors. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 48, Eagles 10. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Miami Dolphins football, live on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by Tobin and Solana. Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dolphins fans, you can be here for live NFL action all season long as the official ticket marketplace of the NFL. Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets so you never miss a single play. Score tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. I want to do this a little bit different tonight because last week I went through all the guys on my own and then had to hear about it from you guys about how I left no one available. So I want to go ahead and talk about guys that you think really made a case tonight as far as it can be climbing up within their role after they've already made the team, or guys that you think maybe had burst their bubble in the right direction, getting onto the roster that maybe previously weren't. Seth talked about this, about how Coach McDaniel mentioned there are more NFL players on this roster than you're allowed to keep. And so obviously you're going to have to get rid of some guys that are going to make other NFL teams. That's what the best teams do, and you hope that's what we have here at the Miami Dolphins. But I have a list of some guys. Do you guys want to throw off any, or want me to go first? How do you want to do this tonight?
Go ahead. We'll see what you leave us.
Well, I've got a few.
Tua.
Tua.
Tyreek. I think those might be the only two guys he doesn't mention.
Well, three of my six here are guys that played their college football in the greatest state in the country in Washington.
Good.
No, just kidding. It's pretty good. It's not the best. River Craycraft was one of the guys. Obviously, Seth already talked about him getting a game ball. So, and I thought it was interesting that he got so many targets tonight. I think he had the most of the entire team. And the
seven
next,
targets.
Yeah, the next was fourth, Eric Ezukama. So he almost doubles the second leading target getter. Kind of a I don't know what that means, but it's got to be
like
a good
PFF
sign for him.
Stat.
Yeah. Target getters.
Target getters.
The other two guys were Savon Ahmed and Miles Gaskin. I thought Miles ran hard tonight. I thought he had a. I thought he looked a step faster. Juice, don't you? I
mean, he looked really good, man.
Those fresh legs.
Fresh legs.
Dude,
that's what
he's such a team player too, man. He looked really good, man. It's you know, and then you see all the other guys. It's just a tough deal, man. That backfield is crowded, man.
It is, man.
Really crowded with some good running backs.
So he goes 6 for 39. Savon Ahmed goes 4 for 30, and that's not even factoring in his catch for 28 yards. So he has on 5 touches. See, I'm not a mathematician here, but 58 yards on that's a pretty good average, right, Seth? I think that's 10 point something. I don't know. I don't know math, like I mentioned. But
Make sure you carry the one, Travis.
We always have to. So I talk about my Washington guys, even though two are Huskies and they kick the crap out of us every year we played them. But my other guys are Cater Kohu.
Kohu.
Thank you, Seth. Seth's been working on that one with me for a while now. I'm struggling to get that one down.
I mean, you just pressed the pronunciation guy.
You keep getting it for me.
Brett Brekhuizen has it all laid out for us.
Brett Brekhuizen is the key to a lot of things, including the carts after the game tonight. We'll get the cart with him tonight.
We'll see. Don't celebrate too soon. JT taught me that years ago.
Make a call.
That's too good. And then I also had Hunter Long. I had the two specialists. And I know Noah Igbinoghene had a pass breakup tonight that I thought was just a good sign of him really, you know, kind of turning a corner, hopefully.
It's a play.
It was a great play where he locates the football, gets his hand between the receiver's hands, and separates that way. And then I think I saw this on Twitter. Maybe someone mentioned it to me in the press box. I can't remember who it was. But the fact that he came out pretty early in the game, I think, is a good sign for his you know, his prospects going forward here. So some guys that had good nights there, Juice and Seth. What do you guys think?
Yeah. Pretty with all that. I thought you said six guys. That sounded like more than six.
Yeah, quite a few guys, and there are some guys. I'm gonna tell you who I'm all in on, man. And it's gonna be tough. You know, we talk about the wide receiver position, but Bowden has got he's the most comfortable guy I've seen a long time back returning kicks and returning punts. And if he can make the squad in that capacity, and probably on some other teams, I mean, that's a guy I think has made a case for himself. Because, I mean, unfortunately, Preston had an opportunity back there, and he muffed the punt, turned into a short field. Ended up being a field goal, thank goodness. The defense came out there. But I just sit there and I watch, and I think me and Preach, I might have even said it too, I'm watching him catch punts, and he's so comfortable back there. If we got somebody that's comfortable back there making the right decisions, we don't have to worry about Tyreek or Jalen going back there and catching punts. So that's my guy that I think that week after week after week when I watched him, and watching him field these kicks has made a case for himself. Mark Hicks came up to me and said, "Juice, is my boy Bowden going to make the team?" I said, "If I'm making the decision, absolutely is, man, for that reason alone." And I think also, man, he can spell some guys inside and run some of these routes and catch the ball. So that's the guy that I think that, you know, if I had an opportunity to, you know, to pick a guy, that'd be my guy.
Well, I'm going to go ahead because
I'm so mad at myself right now.
Travis did leave a little scraps, a little meat on the bone there.
My guy all camp, too.
And he has been, and I will give you credit for that. But Elijah Campbell.
Pick six. We forgot. It's segment number
seven.
He
only had a pick six for crying out loud.
Or something, I don't know.
And he's been making plays all camp, as you have said. And I asked you, I was like, wait a minute. Everything I've seen him do is make plays at corner, but he's also done he's played well at safety as well. We know that this has been a depleted secondary, whether guys are resting or just, you know, some injuries that we've seen that have been tough to swallow. So there were an opportunity for some of these guys that weren't as high up there on the depth chart to step up. And you mentioned Cater Kohu, and I think Elijah Campbell did the same thing. And when you put points on the board from the defensive side of the ball, that's making a pretty good case.
Yeah. That was a guy that played running back in high school right there. Had to be, right, Juice? The way he ran the ball.
They all
the
do, though, right?
Both sides of the ball.
You get this
except
far.
For down here. They don't do it down here that much.
Well,
but, yeah.
I just feel like if you make it to the NFL at this point, you probably they had the ball in your hands as much. At those skilled positions. Yeah, go back and look at the – have you ever seen the high school tape of Xavier Howard?
It's ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's not quite Reggie Bush level crazy, but it is pretty crazy.
Well, no, but he plays defensive back.
I know. It's insane.
Well, hell, I had 8 picks my senior year, so, yeah.
8 picks?
Yeah, something like that.
Take him back for 6?
Desmond Howard had 12, was defensive player of the year for, you know, the Cleveland area. So, And then, but he goes on to
who was offensive player of the year?
You know, some guy named McDuffie.
Hey,
That's hilarious. He's a clown, though.
At times, I think he does pretty well. I'm so mad that I left Elijah Campbell off my list. Right here, man,
did you see? I circled him here in the middle of this.
Oh,
he was devastated.
He did it. Eric wrote himself on that too, by the way. Speaking
I was
of guys
waiting
in that
to
list.
See. Yeah, but I thought you were talking about kind of I don't know, bubble guys or
no, you're right.
The guys on that bottom third of the roster, or at least what we think. And we don't know. We're not making these decisions.
That's right. Right.
But these guys did stand out today. Everybody did. I mean, almost everybody on the roster showed up today, and that's a great way to end the preseason. My favorite preseason of the game every year is the last one.
Yeah, and there are a couple guys that we didn't get a chance to see at all this year. I really, really wanted to see Tanner Connor play some more.
Yep.
You know, that would have been a fun one to see him play the last couple games and let's at least get in there today. I hope that he's done enough to give himself a chance to, at least be a part of it, because that kid there has got an upside that's going to be pretty special, I think.
Yeah, I think he would have had a chance to really carve out a spot if he would have, stayed healthy for the rest of camp, because he was starting off strong. I know they like him a lot here in this building. So there you go. Next, our last segment we're going to talk about coming up on the podcast network. We're going to preview the Patriots here a little bit. I have a take I want to get to you guys and hear what your thoughts are on that, what's new. We'll do that next here on the Dolphins postgame show, which is driven by Gunther Motors. You've got to get to Gunther Kia in Fort Lauderdale on 441, just north of I-595, or visit GuntherKia.com for car buying done your way. You've got to get to Gunther Kia. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 48, Eagles 10. You're listening to the fifth quarter overtime show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins radio network, where Dolphins fans live.
The home of every Miami Dolphins game, AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. And guys, we almost skipped this part. We have to go back and do it. The drive of the game. Our Miami Dolphins want to help you lock in a low mortgage rate. That's the wrong ad. Check that. Let's get to our Lexus drive of the game. Real life, real luxury. Explore the possibilities. It's midnight, guys. Give us a break here. Explore the possibilities with a Lexus at the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event now through September 6th. Learn more at Lexus.com/offers. I had to debate whether I should finish it or just get rid of it. We just went ahead and jumped off of it. The drive of the game was the first drive of the game. Four plays, 75 yards, and it's capped with a pass to River Craycraft, but it got started with a pass from Tua to Tyreek.
Tua under center, Mostert in the eye back position. Play action fake, Tua back to throw, looking deep downfield, wants it all! And it's caught by Tyreek Hill!
What a catch. Jimmy, are you kidding me? They said they wanted to get
50 yards.
Down the middle of the field, two guys, no surprise. He outruns everybody. Jimmy, the ball's a little underthrown and to the side, and he makes an all-pro catch. Tyreek, welcome to South Florida.
I haven't heard Jimmy that fired up, guys, quite some time. So, thoughts, man. Critique my read there. Critique the play. What do you think? Drive of the game.
What I love about that drive of the game is you better be in your seat on time for that one.
Yeah,
I hope it's like that. You know, you better be in your seat on time. But it's gonna be like this. I mean, that happened so fast, man. The first play, of course, and then a run by Mostert that was big. Then of course the touchdown pass. Dude, that was exciting, man. And then, of course, for us to go ahead and put 10 more points on the board in that first quarter. But that drive right there is I envision this type of drive with a guy like Tyreek on our team, because we've seen him do it, in Kansas City. Now we've got an opportunity for it to happen here, man. So that was a great drive, obviously, and your boy Craycraft finishing it off. He's just a great route runner, man. I still got that Wes Walker with more speed. He's got more speed than Wes, but he got a lot of Wes Walker in him when he runs routes and way he catches the football, man. So great. That was a great drive, man. And that's how you start games off. And we've seen so many great teams that start games off like that, and then the rest of the, time the other team is playing catch up. We've been there.
Right.
We don't score a lot. We weren't scoring a lot in the first quarter, as an organization for a long time. But if we can go out there in the first drive of the game and put it on some people like that, let them play catch up the whole time, and let our defense pin the ears back, it's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, and what did we talk about all last year when we would put points on the board? 12 play drives, 13 play drives.
Right.
Juice, you kept saying that there's a lot of margin for error there when you're going down the field and it's taking double digit plays to get into the end zone or even to get a field goal.
Yeah.
Here you get 14 play drives, they last 7 minutes and get 3 points out of them. I like 4 plays, 75 yards, and putting a touchdown on the board. So the more they can do that, everything you just said, not to repeat everything you just said, but it's just a different dynamic. And then again, when you have a defense like we have had here the last couple of years, and you give them some room to breathe where they can pin their ears back and play the way they want to play and dictate the way the game should be played to the
right.
offense, you're talking about something pretty special.
That's exactly right. You're going to have a hard time when you're one-dimensional against this defense, and a good offense can certainly make that happen. So 4 plays, 75 yards, touchdown for the Miami Dolphins, the big play from Tua to Tyreek, and then capping it off with an 8-yard pass to River Craycraft for the touchdown. That was your Lexus drive of the game. Real life, real luxury, the Lexus Golden Opportunity sales event now through September 6th. And now, guys, we can get to my Patriots segment as we are all done talking preseason football, Big Seth. It's it. That's a wrap. You made it. How do you feel?
About that in particular, I feel pretty damn good.
I feel pretty good about it. I had a chance to watch the Patriots game last night. I think it was on DVR this morning. Maybe I watched it this morning. I can't remember. But, you know, just looking at the way that they set up that game, I've been reading about their camp all summer. And, you know, Evan Lazar is a Patriots.com writer. He used to be a guy that analyzed the game for a media company up there. But now he works for the team. And he had an interesting stat as this team is trying to work from, you know, losing Josh McDaniels to become the Raiders head coach to Matt Patricia as the offensive coordinator there, a first-time play caller on the offensive side, has all experience on the defensive side, and now they're going to install this wide zone offense over a gap scheme they've ran for decades now, Juice, and push teams around. They've given us some fits with that power gap scheme. And I got this from Patriots.com writer Evan Lazar. He said last night in the game they had 4 zone runs for 1 yard, a holding call, no rushes for more than 3 yards. They had 4 runs in gap scheme for 28 yards and 1 10-plus-yard carry. So I'm thinking about them trying to install this new offense that clearly is taking some time for them, and with our defense having seen wide zone all camp long, now you might point back and say, well, their defense has seen wide zone too, so it works both ways, but I'm just not as concerned about our offense given our weapons. I just look at this as a matchup that I really like for the Dolphins, Juice.
I like our matchup against a lot of people right now.
Yeah, but
that's a great point, though, you make, though, man. You know, I look at the one-on-ones, you look at the bigger picture, which I love because, you know, talking about some of the wide zone schemes and things like that, I just look at I got Tyreek and I got the DBs over him. I think Tyreek can beat him. If this guy's guarding Jalen, I think Jalen can beat him. You know, but, yeah, you're right, though, man. Everything, you know, different teams with different schemes, it goes back to personnel too, Travis, you know. If you're running a certain scheme, some guys just don't match and don't work in your scheme as a player. You know, some guys are under center guys, some guys might be pistol guys, some guys might be shotgun guys, and they're not as good, you know, when you put them in different systems. So I think the fact that we have had that work on both sides of the ball now with it, it's really, really going to be a good fit for us. But like I said, I love our matchup against most of the teams in this league right now.
You'd be hard-pressed not to think that way. I mean, considering the fact that what they did tonight, I know it's Eagles backups. We saw the practice this week. We've seen them get after the Bucs in joint practices and look pretty good as a comprehensive here.
Right, and we're talking about teams. You're talking about the Bucs and the Eagles, teams that are
probably
projected
favorites
to win their divisions. Yeah,
100%.
For sure.
And can I, you know, I'm obviously a lot of reaction to tonight's game, but just taking a high-level view of this entire preseason, this is a brand-new coaching staff, certainly a completely remade offense, first-time head coach, a lot of new players, exciting new players, but a lot of new players that have been brought in here. And if you go back and look at the stats and you look at the efficiency of the way the quarterbacks played, if you look at the lack of penalties, if you look, you know, are there things to be worked on? We're not sitting here trying to put teams in playoffs and Super Bowls and make right. predictions like that. But it's like, what does the operation look like in the preseason? And there's a reason why that there's some cause for hope here. And you guys are talking about you like these matchups. And I think you got to give a lot of credit to Mike McDaniel and his coaching staff for having this team prepared throughout training camp, throughout the preseason, dealing with some adversity. And again, getting back to your point, it is exciting to see them go into the regular season here. I haven't focused on the matchup because you know me, I'm not a look-ahead guy. I like to focus on the game at hand. But
you already know what's coming next. I'm going to ask you, what's your prediction? It sounds like you're getting there.
I do not make predictions. But I just have been so impressed by what the team has looked like. We certainly have been impressed by the talent on the roster. I think that Mike McDaniel has not only been fun to kind of watch throughout this process, but it just has been impressive. The team is energized. They play hard. They practice hard. They're playing efficiently. I think that these are exciting times for Miami Dolphin fans right now.
Yeah, anticipation is certainly at an all-time high. And I think I tweeted about it. They did nothing to cool that down with this performance tonight.
Exactly right.
Especially early on. So, guys, we have a couple minutes left here. Coming up this week on Drive Time, we'll have the reaction show for you guys sometime in the early morning hours of Sunday. That was a weird sentence. We'll have the film review podcast the next day as well. We'll have coaches media. I'll do a mailbag. Haven't had one of those all camps. I want to hear from the fans what they want to see or just questions they have for the season coming up. We'll preview the season at some point as well, and just plenty to get you ready for this 2022 NFL season. Now just 14 days away. Feels good to say that. Big Seth, what's coming up on the fish tank this week?
Well, we're bringing it back, going old school, fish tank old school. Ronnie Brown is diving back in, and it was, you know, Ronnie, one of my favorite people on the planet, and I think a lot of fond memories for Dolphin fans. Had a great first appearance back in 2019 in the fish tank, and that one was kind of fun. We got to hear Ronnie, and most people are not used to hearing Ronnie like that and outrageous, and who doesn't like to hear stories of, you know, running around town with Channing Crowder. Yeah. But this was a little bit of a different side of Ronnie that we got to hear. He talked about his story growing up. Some things, some trials and tribulations that he went through that a lot of people I don't know if they are aware of, and I think it really formed and shaped the man that we see today. And so it was just great to have our friend Ronnie Brown back in the tank.
Yeah, it was.
He's the best, man. I think I told you guys this on the Spaces show. Like, every time I see him, it's like, what's up, Travis? The big smile, the handshake,
and that
handshake
guy.
That will break your hand if he was mean enough to do it, but he's not, so he won't.
Now, Ronnie and I, we've got a little competition coming up. Penn State's headed to Auburn in a couple weeks.
Oh, boy.
And we're going to head-to-head. We got a little interview thing going up in Auburn.
It'll be like two nice guys. It's going to be like a pillow fight.
Yeah, it's going to be a pillow fight, man. Butterflies, you know. But it's going to be a lot of fun, man, being
in
territory. And I've never, you know, I don't think I've been to a SEC country to see a game at all,
so
it's going to be fun.
That's a bucket
list. I did play against Alabama when I was in college, but they were different Alabama then.
Yeah.
But we got all over this time.
It's going to be a different experience on the field than when you get to go there and sit in the crowd.
True.
Yeah.
My wife and I were talking about doing like a college football tour at some point, and then we had a kid, so that whole thing's over. Because the Cougs are in Madison to play Wisconsin this right before our Patriots game. I really want to go to it, but it's just not going to work out. So,
jealous.
You don't get to jump around, huh?
For one more year, I think it is, Seth, and then it goes to relegated to no one gives a crap football once we have two conferences in the country, which I'll get off my old man rocker on that. But that's it tonight, guys. Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Espresso and Council Oak, and much more, only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. Thanks to Kim Bocamper, Joe Rose, and the voice of the Miami Dolphins, Jimmy Cefalo, our executive producer and booth producer, Alejandro Solana, our studio producers, Robert Griepert, Jimmy Garcia, and Trevor Harris. Our radio booth engineer was Stephen J. Gray. Our postgame engineer was Steph the Specialist. For O.J. McDuffie and Seth Levitt, I am Travis Wingfield. DJ Preach in the house, too, by the way. What's up, Preach? The final score of tonight's game, Dolphins 48, Eagles 10. Dolphins football is going to be back on the air week one here at Hard Rock Stadium. Dolphins, Patriots, September 11th in Miami to open the 2022 season for your Miami Dolphins. This has been the Miami Dolphins postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, presented by the Palm Beaches. Rest in peace, Jenkins. Jason Jenkins. We love you, brother.
Love you, brother.
This is the official Miami Dolphins radio network, where Dolphins fans live.
The home of every Miami Dolphins game, AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. And guys, we almost skipped this part. We have to go back and do it. the drive of the game. Our Miami Dolphins want to help you lock in a low mortgage rate. That's the wrong ad. Check that. Let's get to our Lexus drive of the game. Real life, real luxury. Explore the possibilities. It's midnight, guys. Give us a break here. Explore the possibilities with the Lexus at the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event now through September 6th. Learn more at Lexus.com/offers. I had to debate whether I should finish it or just get rid of it. We just went ahead and jumped off of it. The drive of the game was the first drive of the game. Four plays, 75 yards, and it's capped with a pass to River Craycraft, but it got started with a pass from Tua to Tyreek.
Tua under center, Mostert in the eye back position. Play action fake, Tua back to throw, looking deep downfield, wants it all! And it's caught by Tyreek Hill!
What a catch! Jimmy, are you kidding me? They said they wanted to get him
50 yards.
Down the middle of the field, two guys, no surprise. He outruns everybody. Jimmy, the ball's a little underthrown and to the side, and he makes an all-pro catch. Tyreek, welcome to South Florida.
I haven't heard Jimmy that fired up, guys, in quite some time. So, thoughts, man? Critique my read there? Critique the play? What do you
Dude,
think? Drive of the game.
What I love about that drive of the game is you better be in your seat on time for
that's
that
right.
one, man.
Yeah,
I hope it's like
point,
that.
Juice.
You know, you
like
better
that.
Be in your seat on time. It's going to be like this. I mean, that happened so fast, man. The first play, of course, and then, you know, a run by Mostert that was big. Then, of course, the touchdown pass. Dude, that was exciting, man. And then, of course, you know, for us to go ahead and put 10 more points on the board in that first quarter. But that drive right there is I envision this type of drive with a guy like Tyreek on our team, because we've seen him do it, you know, in Kansas City. Now we've got an opportunity for it to happen here, man. So that was a great drive, obviously, and your boy Craycraft finishing it off. He's just a great route runner, man. I still got that Wes Walker with more speed. He's got more speed than Wes, but he got a lot of Wes Walker in him when he runs routes and way he catches the football, man. So great. That was a great drive, man. And that's how you start games off. And we've seen so many great teams that start games off like that, and then the rest of the, you know, time the other team is playing catch up. We've been there.
Right.
You know, we don't score a lot. We weren't scoring a lot in the first quarter, you know, as an organization for a long time. But if we can go out there in the first drive of the game and put it on some people like that, let them play catch up the whole time, it'd be – and let our defense pin the ears back, it's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, and what did we talk about all last year when we would – you know, we would put points on the board, 12-play drives, 13-play drives.
Right.
Juice, you kept saying that there's a lot of margin for error there when you're going down the field and it's taking double-digit plays to get into the end zone or even to get a field goal.
Yeah.
You get 14-play drives, they last 7 minutes and get 3 points out of them. I like 4 plays, 75 yards, and putting a touchdown on the board. So the more they can do that, everything you just said, not to repeat everything you just said, but it's just a different dynamic. And then again, when you have a defense – like we have had here the last couple of years, and you give them some room to breathe where they can pin their ears back and play the way they want to play and dictate the way the game should be played to the offense, you're talking about something pretty special.
That's exactly right. You're going to have a hard time when you're one-dimensional against this defense, and a good offense can certainly make that happen. So 4 plays, 75 yards, touchdown for the Miami Dolphins, the big play from Tua to Tyreek, and then capping it off with an 8-yard pass to River Craycraft for the touchdown. That was your Lexus drive of the game. Real life, real luxury, the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event now through September 6th. And now, guys, we can get to my Patriots segment as we are all done talking preseason football, Big Seth. It's it. That's a wrap. You made it. How do you feel?
About that in particular, I feel pretty damn good.
I feel pretty good about it. I had a chance to watch the Patriots game last night. I think it was on DVR this morning. Maybe I watched it this morning. I can't remember. But, you know, just looking at the way that they set up that game, I've been reading about their camp all summer. And, you know, Evan Lazar is a Patriots.com writer. He used to be a guy that analyzed the game for a media company up there. But now he works for the team. And he had an interesting stat as this team is trying to work from, you know, losing Josh McDaniels to become the Raiders head coach to Matt Patricia as the offensive coordinator there, a first-time play caller on the offensive side, has all experience on the defensive side, and now they're going to install this wide zone offense over a gap scheme they've ran for decades now, Juice, and push teams around. They've given us some fits with that power gap scheme. And I got this from Patriots.com writer Evan Lazar. He said last night in the game they had 4 zone runs for 1 yard, a holding call, no rushes for more than 3 yards. They had 4 runs in gap scheme for 28 yards and 1 10-plus-yard carry. So I'm thinking about them trying to install this new offense that clearly is taking some time for them. And with our defense having seen wide zone all camp long, now you might point back and say, well, their defense has seen wide zone too, so it works both ways. But I'm just not as concerned about our offense given our weapons. I just look at this as a matchup that I really like for the Dolphins, Juice.
I like our matchup against a lot of people right now.
Yeah, that's definitely a good
point. That's a great point, though, you make, though, man. You know, I look at the one-on-ones. You look at the bigger picture, which I love, because, you know, talking about some of the wide zone schemes and things like that. I just look at – I got Tyreek, and I got the DBs over him. I think Tyreek can beat him. And this guy's guarding Jalen.
Absolutely.
I think Jalen can beat him. You know, but, yeah, you're right, though, man. Everything – you know, different teams with different schemes. It goes back to personnel too, Travis. You know, if you're running a certain scheme, some guys just don't match and don't work in your scheme as a player. You know, some guys are under center guys. Some guys might be pistol guys. Some guys might be shotgun guys, and they're not as good. You know, when you put them in different systems. So, I think the fact that we have had that work on both sides of the ball now with it, it's really going to be a good fit for us. But like I said, I love our matchup against most of the teams in this league right now.
You'd be hard-pressed not to think that way. I mean, considering the fact that what they did tonight, I know it's Eagles backups. We saw the practice this week. We've seen them get after the Bucs in joint practices and look pretty good as a comprehensive here.
Right, and we're talking about teams. You're talking about the Bucs and the Eagles, teams that are projected to win their divisions. 100%. Yeah, for sure.
And can I, you know, I'm obviously a lot of reaction to tonight's game, but just taking a high-level view of this entire preseason, this is a brand-new coaching staff, certainly a completely remade offense, first-time head coach, a lot of new players, exciting new players, but a lot of new players that have been brought in here. And if you go back and look at the stats and you look at the efficiency of the way the quarterbacks played, if you look at the lack of penalties, if you look, you know, are there things to be worked on? We're not sitting here trying to put teams in playoffs and Super Bowls and make predictions like that. But it's like, what does the operation look like in the preseason? And there's a reason why that there's some cause for hope here. And you guys are talking about you like these matchups. And I think you got to give a lot of credit to Mike McDaniel and his coaching staff for having this team prepared throughout training camp, throughout the preseason, dealing with some adversity. And again, getting back to your point, it is exciting to see them go into the regular season here. I haven't focused on the matchup because, you know me, I'm not a look-ahead guy. I like to focus on the game at hand. But
you already know what's coming next. I'm going to ask you, what's your prediction? It sounds like you're getting there.
I do not make predictions. But I just have been so impressed by what the team has looked like. We certainly have been impressed by the talent on the roster. I think that Mike McDaniel has not only been fun to kind of watch throughout this process, but it just has been impressive. The team is energized. They play hard. They practice hard. They're playing efficiently. I think that these are exciting times for Miami Dolphin fans right now.
Yeah, anticipation is certainly at an all-time high, and I think I tweeted about it. They did nothing to cool that down with this performance tonight.
Exactly right.
Especially early on. So, guys, we have a couple minutes left here. Coming up this week on Drive Time, we'll have the reaction show for you guys sometime in the early morning hours of Sunday. That was a weird sentence. We'll have the film review podcast the next day as well. We'll have coaches media. I'll do a mailbag. Haven't had one of those all camps. I want to hear from the fans what they want to see or just questions they have for the season coming up. We'll preview the season at some point as well, and just plenty to get you ready for this 2022 NFL season. Now just 14 days away. Feels good to say that. Big Seth, what's coming up on the fish tank this week?
Well, we're bringing it back, going old school, in fish tank old school. Ronnie Brown is diving back in, and it was, you know, Ronnie, one of my favorite people on the planet, and I think a lot of fond memories for Dolphin fans. Had a great first appearance back in 2019 in the fish tank, and that one was kind of fun. We got to hear Ronnie, and most people are not used to hearing Ronnie like that and outrageous, and who doesn't like to hear stories of, you know, running around town with Channing Crowder. Yeah. But this was a little bit of a different side of Ronnie that we got to hear. He talked about his story growing up. Some things, some trials and tribulations that he went through that a lot of people I don't know if they are aware of, and I think it really formed and shaped the man that we see today. And so it was just great to have our friend Ronnie Brown back in the tank.
Yeah, it was.
He's the best, man. I think I told you guys this on the Spaces show. Like, every time I see him, it's like, what's up, Travis? The big smile, the handshake,
handshake
that will break your hand if he was mean enough to do it, but he's not, so he won't.
Now, Ronnie and I, we've got a little – competition coming up. Penn State's headed to Auburn in a couple weeks.
Oh, boy.
And we're going to head-to-head. We got a little interview thing going over up in Auburn.
It'll be like two nice guys. It's going to be like a pillow fight.
Yeah, it's going to be a pillow fight, man. Butterflies, you know. But it's going to be a lot of fun, man, being
That's
in this territory.
Awesome.
And I've never, you know, I don't think I've been to a SEC country to see a game at all,
oh,
so it's
man.
Gonna be fun.
That's
to
my.
Check it.
That's a bucket.
I did play time. Against Alabama when I was in college, but you know, but they were different Alabama then.
Yeah, yeah.
But we got over this.
It's
time,
gonna be
right?
a different experience on the field than when you get to go there and sit in the crowd. And,
true.
Yeah.
My wife and I were talking about doing like a college football tour at some point, and then we had a kid, so that whole thing's over. Because the Cougs are in Madison to play Wisconsin this right before our Patriots game. I really want to go to it, but it's just not going to work out. So,
yeah, is that Division 1?
You don't get to jump around
for like one more year. I think it is and then it goes to relegated to no one gives a crap football once we have two conferences in the country, which I'll get off my old man rocker on that. But that's it tonight, guys. Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Cipresso and Council Oak, and much more only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. Thanks to Kim Bocamper, Joe Rose, and the voice of the Miami Dolphins, Jimmy Cefalo, our executive producer and booth producer, Alejandro Solana, our studio producers, Robert Griepert, Jimmy Garcia, and Trevor Harris. Our radio booth engineer was Stephen J. Gray. Our postgame engineer was Steph the Specialist. For OJ McDuffie and Seth Levitt, I am Travis Wingfield. DJ Preach in the house, too, by the way. What's up, Preach? The final score of tonight's game, Dolphins 48, Eagles 10. Dolphins football is going to be back on the air week one here at Hard Rock Stadium. Dolphins, Patriots, September 11th in Miami to open the 2022 season for your Miami Dolphins. This has been the Miami Dolphins postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, presented by the Palm Beaches. Rest in peace, Jason Jenkins. We love you, brother.
Love you, brother.